Thank you, Helen. We thank God for Richard, and we're going to hand over to Richard right now as we come to the Word of God for today.
Good morning, everybody. So the reading this morning is Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33. And this is the passage about Jesus walking on the sea. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Shall we pray? Lord God, I pray now that you use the message I've prepared, that you use me, that you bless our hearing, bless my speaking. And Lord, that if anything I say is not of you, Lord, that you overrule. I pray, Lord, that you're glorified now in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you keep in touch with the media, you'll know that there's a lot of interest at the moment about space and space travel. It's the 50th anniversary, I think coming up next week, of the first man on the moon. Since the 1960s, it seems that wherever you look in popular culture, that you see spacemen and you see aliens, don't you? Have you noticed this? I find it particularly with children's movies, children's books. Everywhere you look, there has to be a spaceman, there has to be an alien. There's a kind of obsession with everything to do with space. And I think it's kind of was fueled, massively fueled, by the Apollo program in the early 1970s, late 60s, early 70s. People are fascinated with space and with space travel, with space exploration. And the influence of this has spread to popular music as well. You're probably familiar with songs like Space Oddity by David Bowie. Space Oddity. And I've got another, there's another song here that I'm hoping Anderson can play for us, which is, it's kind of loosely linked to space. It's a popular song, and it links in with what I want to say, so I think it fits. So just have a quick listen to this, if we can get it to go. So, sorry to inflict that on you, but actually, I really like that song. I think it's got a great tune, hasn't it? And I quite like the sentiment as well. Although I do have a slight issue with the theology of God is watching us from a distance. But I'll come back to that in a little while. So, when Apollo 11 landed on the moon, I was 5 years old. So that will give you a clue to how old I am. And I dimly remember when I was at primary school, they had a big black and white television on a trolley, and they wheeled it into the hall, and all the children sat cross-legged on the floor of the hall and watched this very, very blurry image of astronauts sort of walking around on the moon, and Neil Armstrong, walking out onto the moon and so on. Well, I don't know if that had that much of an impact on me, but I did get very interested in space when I was young, and I bought myself a telescope, and I used to go out. I lived in the countryside. There were nice dark skies, and I used to go out into the countryside, and I used to, with my friend, and I used to point my telescope at the sky and look at planets and stars and nebulae and so on, and I got really into it. And I have actually still got 3 telescopes, although they sit in my attic, and they don't come out very much anymore. My children haven't really got as interested as I have, and of course in London it's not quite so good because of all the glare. But nevertheless, I got quite into space and quite interested in space. And I just want to show you a picture now, if you can click through. Here's someone who was also a young man, and he got interested in space too. His name was Jim Irwin. He was born in 1930 in the American town of Pittsburgh to nominally Christian parents. At about the age of 12, he told his mum he wanted to go to the moon and might be the first person to do so. He did well at school studying airplane engineering. He joined the US Air Force and became a test pilot. His aim had always been to go faster and higher. His mum, on the other hand, wanted him to go slower and lower. In 1961, he was involved in a plane crash, was badly injured and nearly lost a leg, but he recovered. In 1966, he was chosen to be one of 19 Apollo astronauts by NASA, and he became the 8th man on the moon in 1971 as lunar module pilot on Apollo 15. And here are some pictures of him. That's the kind of official picture of him at the top there. Then there's a picture of him on the moon, quite a well-known photo, where he's there next to the lunar module and the lunar rover. He was actually the first passenger of a lunar rover, apparently. And then there's a picture of him there a little bit later in life. He spent 3 days on the moon, including 19 hours walking and traveling on the lunar rover. And while on the moon, he had a life-changing spiritual experience. Later on, he said, "I felt the power of God as I'd never felt it before." A year after the mission, he resigned from NASA and spent the next 20 years of his life as a goodwill ambassador for the Prince of Peace, stating that Jesus walking on the earth is more important than man walking on the moon. All aspects of his life had changed fundamentally. He first married in 1952, but the marriage only lasted for 2 years, largely because he was so obsessed with his work that all of his attention went on his career and he totally neglected his wife. He remarried in 1959, and this marriage was also in danger of failing because of his obsession with his work, until his experience on the moon, and he came back and his whole life had changed. His family life was completely different. His whole attitude had been turned around. Irwin died following a heart attack in 1991 at the age of just 61. He was the first of the Apollo astronauts to die. So you may be wondering, what has this got to do with the passage that we read from the Bible earlier? The first point I want to make is that Jim Irwin had to go far away to feel the power of God. Here's my first point. Far away. So some of you may know that my life changed far away from my home and from London. In 1987, I went 5,000 miles away to India, and that's where I met with Jesus, had my encounter with Jesus. And my life was changed when I went to a mission hospital in India. And for Jim Irwin, it was a bit more extreme. He had to go 230,000 miles away to the moon. But my point is that sometimes we have to put some distance between ourselves and our everyday lives in order to see things more clearly, to get a better sense of proportion and perspective in our lives. From close up, sometimes we can't actually see the wood for the trees. We can't see the forest because we're right down in the among the trees ourselves. From far away, we can see the bigger picture. And in our reading in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus did something a little bit similar when he withdrew to the mountain at the beginning of the reading, when he went up on the mountain to pray. In verse 23, it says, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. I just want to show a picture of... We can come back to the next point. If you go click it, we'll come. The picture will arrive. Okay, here's a picture of the Sea of Galilee, showing some of the hills and mountains around. And I want you to picture now, Jesus has walked up this hill, and he's looking down at the lake. It's sunset, sun's going down. He's away from the crowds. He's praying. He's having a quiet time without the distractions from the crowds. He's above the lake. It's a beautiful place, watching the little sailing boat getting pushed back by the wind. It's windy. The wind is blowing in the wrong direction, and the sailing boat can't cross. It's getting pushed back. God had withdrawn and was watching from a distance, a bit like the words of the song. And we follow his example when we go to our room to quietly pray on our own, or go away on a retreat or on a holiday, when we go to Spring Harvest, away from the demands of the day-to-day, we can get our priorities in order, we can get our heads straight. We can get things in proportion. It was fitting in a way for Jim Irwin, because he had been so obsessed with his career and his ambition to go to the moon from such a young age that it took such a long journey to the object of his obsession to realize that his priorities had been so upside down and wrong way round. He had got everything completely the wrong way. Ultimately, he realized that walking on the moon was actually a crushing disappointment. It didn't satisfy him in the way that he thought it would. The Apollo program cost $19 billion and took a monumental effort by thousands of people. It was also extremely dangerous. No one actually died during the missions, but there were some near misses. If you've ever seen Apollo 13, the Apollo 13 film, you'll remember how close the crew there came to perishing. And there were many other near misses during the program where problems occurred which could have could have just been fatal, and somehow they were overcome. Jim Irwin himself, while he was on the moon, developed a serious heart arrhythmia, possibly due to a problem with his spacesuit, and he had to be rested. It must have been extremely frightening. Can you imagine being 230,000 miles away from the nearest hospital and developing a serious heart arrhythmia? Imagine that, how frightening that must have been. So for Irwin, it wasn't only the distance, but the experience that changed his whole mindset. Irwin was brought face to face with his own mortality. We can get so wrapped up in our cares and troubles that we can forget that our health, our lives are fragile, held in the palm of God's hand. It's good every now and again to wake up and be reminded how much we depend on and need to be thankful for God's grace and mercy in our lives each day. Amen. As Irwin stood there on the moon, with the earth hanging like a great blue marble in the sky above, he realized that the moon was just an empty, barren place, and that it was so much more important that Jesus walks with us on the earth than for man to walk far away on the moon. So back to the Sea of Galilee, after Jesus had seen the boat containing the disciples get blown back to the shore, he came down near to them, which is my second point. Verse 25 says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear." On this occasion, and more generally, God was not satisfied to watch us from a distance, as the words of the song say. This is my issue with the words of that, of the song, with the lyrics. God was not satisfied to stay at a far away, at a distance, and just watch passively. Jesus came down from his distant mountain and came near to us to share our pain. He was born. He lived among us. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. Did his death separate us? No, not at all. Death could not hold him. Jesus rose again and lives today. God isn't just a distant observer passively watching. He's got engaged in humankind's messy lives. He offers us salvation from sin, as we've sung earlier, through his blood. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not die but have eternal life." God loves and cares for us. He has come down to be among us. He is near. I think it's interesting that there haven't been any more astronauts walking on the moon since the early 1970s. It's as if the governments agreed with Jim Irwin that there are more important things to do closer to home. Poverty, disease, famines, environmental disasters, wars. There's so much more to do here on earth. It is far more important for Jesus to be walking on the earth than for men to be walking on the moon. When Irwin came back from space, he founded the High Flight Foundation, which in particular ministers to the needs of Air Force families. and meet some of the needs that he himself had experienced. Although Jesus came down from the mountain and came near to the disciples, Peter had to step out of the boat in faith. Jesus didn't come all the way. He didn't close the gap completely. Peter had to walk the last few steps on the water to Jesus. And it reminded me, when I read this, of Neil Armstrong's first step on the moon, when he said, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." And this is my third point. One small step. When Apollo 11 landed on the moon, it wasn't known for sure what the surface of the moon was like, whether it was hard ground that you could easily walk on, or whether it was like quicksand, whether it was very soft. They couldn't be sure what it was like. It was an unknown. It was risky. And one of the first things that Armstrong said when he got onto the surface of the moon was, he described that it was dusty and sandy, and it was firm. But his first step was a leap of faith, in a way. And it was the same for the other missions, including Apollo 15. The first step on the moon, in those different parts of the moon, were all a risk. They were a step of faith. Fifty years ago, Armstrong and the other astronauts, first out of the lunar module, were stepping out into the unknown. In verse 28 of our passage, we read this. Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Are you of little faith? Why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Just as it was with Peter, Jesus comes near to us, but in response, we have to get out of the boat and step out in faith towards him. His hand is outstretched to catch us when our faith is too weak and we fall back. And when he catches us, he won't let go. And like the disciples, our response is to bow down, to kneel down and praise and worship him and confess, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. So to conclude, where are you? How are you fixed? How are you placed? Are you struggling to see the bigger picture? Do you need time away from your daily cares to get your thoughts and your priorities in order and get things in perspective? Fortunately, most of us don't have to go all the way to the moon to get our heads straight. Perhaps you just need to go and sit in the park or by the river or go for a walk by yourself with your Bible, or perhaps with a notebook or maybe a sketchbook. Sometimes we just need to get away and have some space, have some time by ourselves to pray and to just be in the presence of the Lord. Are you taking your health and well-being for granted? Have you lost your spirit of thankfulness for God's grace and mercy every day? Do you feel that God is a distant, remote figure, passively watching from far off? Someone who you might have to think about one day, Or is it as the psalmist says in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble? Do you need to take that one small step of faith towards Jesus? Or are you holding out? Are you teetering at the bottom of the ladder, unsure whether to take that step? Has the coverage of the anniversary of the first man on the moon captured your interest? Perhaps like me, you get a bit too preoccupied with space exploration. Or perhaps for you it isn't space exploration, perhaps it's something else that's caught your imagination. If so, then remember Jim Irwin's words. It's more important that Jesus walks on the earth than that man walks on the moon. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord God, help us to keep things in proportion and in perspective, and not to get taken in by the fashions and the preoccupations of this world, but to keep in mind and be thankful for your grace and your mercy in our lives each day. Thank you, Lord, that you're not distant and remote from us, but nearby, within our reach. You have made the first move. We just have to step out in faith in response. Thank you, Lord. Amen.